Hello, everyone. I'm Owen with Lights, Camera, Film Reviews, and today I'm joined by a very special guest, Nicholas Monsieur. Mr. Monsieur was the editor for a film that was released last year entitled Nope. Thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
We are currently filming this interview during the SAG-AFTRA and WGA strikes, and Nick mentioned to me that and expressed interest in saying a little bit about these strikes, so you can take it away.
Thanks. I just wanted to say that obviously everyone who works on shows and films, especially in Hollywood, but everywhere, we all love talking about the projects that we work on because, they take so much work and so much time, and we're all very passionate about it, but we have to I just have to be sure to make it clear, that I'm very proud to be a union editor, and that everyone I know, and myself included, who work on crews, all fully support the actors and the writers in their demands. And it's going to affect all of us. It's going to affect the types of movies and shows that are made, and that are seen, if the people making them can't afford to a basic sort of quality of life. Which has only become more and more challenging as I've worked in film and TV. So, obviously I want to talk about how great all the things I've worked on are, and but there just has to be a big caveat. My union isn't currently striking, but just a big caveat that promoting these things, especially ones that are coming out when union brothers and sisters are striking these companies, just want to be aware that we're putting the emphasis where it should be, which is these companies have become sort of unhinged in their expectations for how little of the profit they can share with the people making them. Tons of money is being made. That's not the problem. So anyway, yeah, just I look forward to the solidarity being successful, and for a future where there's more worker control over the products of our labor,
Yeah,
basically. Yeah.
definitely. No, and I'll include links to find resources where you can donate and where you can find more information about these strikes down where I write a little bit more. But yeah, I appreciate you saying that. I think it's really important to emphasize that, definitely, especially since we're like filming this interview, definitely.
Totally. Thank you.
So yeah, so before I get into specifics of like your editing on Nope, would you mind telling me a little bit about how you got into editing and maybe where you found your passion for becoming an editor?
Well, like a lot of people, the route there wasn't a destination as I was headed to the present day, planned out. So, I had always been interested in visual art, writing, music, film, and film and theater were interesting to me as I sort of grew up and started trying making things in school and on my own and with friends, because you get to combine all of those disciplines, especially if you're trying to make something yourself. You have to come up with a costume, and you have to do the graphic design for it, and maybe you have to perform something yourself. You got to write some stuff. So I think because I'm sort of a little bit, my attention is easily drawn to shiny objects, and whatever's fun. So I, that it was always appealing to me to be able to kind of not have to decide and combine a bunch of things I was interested in. My parents were very influential. My mom's a writer, and my dad worked in the industry for a long time doing technical camera related and electronics stuff. So the technical side was always kind of not as scary to me as I think is to some other people. But I also saw how hard the film industry can be to work in, how hard the hours can be, how competitive it is. So I sort of fled and went to art school and thought I'm going to have nothing to do with film probably, or at least not in Hollywood. Problem is, by the time I was like in my 20s, as I was making art in art school, I realized, you know, what I do in my free time is watch films and think about films. And eventually I started making more and more video and film stuff. And when I went to school, was sort of this window when video, you could get a prosumer camera, shoot 24 frame HD video for the first time, and it didn't cost a fortune. And festivals were accepting these things and galleries were showing them. So it was a little democratic moment where it felt like, oh, maybe an artist or a group of artists independently can make things. So that was very exciting. And eventually realized that was just what I was doing. And for some reason, you also figure out if you try editing your own things or things for friends, if you're the type of person for whom that's hell to watch the same clip over and over again, or if you're the kind of person who gets into that and seems to enjoy it, which for some reason I am. So it became kind of natural at some point, but it wasn't the plan as I was making things.
That's great. So I guess going into the Nope and stuff like that, I'd be curious to know like what your first thoughts on the script were, and kind of your general thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always surprised and blown away whenever Jordan shares what his next thing is with me. We've talked, he's always riffing and coming up with ideas, but when he picks one and decides when it's never the thing I expect, or it's always brand new. So yeah, I mean, when I read Nope, well, first he told me it as before he was writing it, he told me the kind of general idea, which he likes to do with his collaborators, which is shows you how collaborative he is he gets feedback even as he's writing it and thinking about the first stages. So there was a long period of like 2 years after Us and before Nope, and I was hearing about it and hearing about what he was researching. But and then I read the script, and the scope of it is what was so exciting, I think, because I started working with Jordan on Key and Peele, and there were very little resources on a sketch comedy show on Comedy Central. So it was a lot of tricks to make things look really good.
Yeah.
And getting to see him actually earn the right to ask for basically anything he wanted and write a movie with the scope that Nope has of the story and the characters and the ideas and the places that it takes place in, was just incredibly exciting. So yeah, and also scary. I think I'm always equally excited and scared because I know he wants to push the envelope technically and creatively. So we're gonna be figuring things out. We can't just copy what other people have done, and we're gonna have to be figuring things out as well as learning about what other people have done that I may not have done yet.
That's good. So like you said, you've worked with Jordan Peele on I think two films now and some shows. What was it like working with him again and doing Nope for that?
Yeah, I mean, he's I guess the more groups of people or people you collaborate with, the more you learn about yourself, how you work, and learn about all the possible ways it is to make a film or anything like that. And one of the, you know, with Jordan, an early thing is because he's done so much comedy in his life, and a lot of my friends also do comedy. So that there's sort of a common language there where I'm sure everybody has a version of this, but this experimentality, you can jump into a character, you can throw out the craziest ideas, and it's all an exploration. And he has this incredible creative fearlessness when he's coming up with ideas and when he's working with collaborators, where you can say anything, you can pitch anything, you can make a joke about anything, and it's all understood to be in this setting where There's no wrong answer, really. We'll you know, it all gets developed together. So working, I'm always excited to work with people like that, because I also like working with somebody when they know exactly what they want and I'm there just to fulfill that task.
Mm-hmm.
That's also really satisfying, because some artists work that way. But the Jordan experience is a unique one in terms of how how collaborative it is, how funny it is, how fearless it is really exciting. And again, the ideas on Nope, whether it's sort of, they were very exciting to see that he was delving into, whether it's like the way animals are exploited for entertainment, mm-hmm. or and how that relates to how people are exploited and how we participate in our own exploitation,
mm-hmm.
And the history of that is all really amazing ground for a sci-fi horror movie.
definitely. So yeah, I guess going more into like the editing process, like would you mind telling me like a little bit about like how the editing like works for like a movie like Nope, and how that all came to be?
Yeah, I don't know if I know how it works for any other movie like Nope. I don't know what movies are exactly like Nope. I guess it's from a zoomed way out, it looks a lot like a lot of other films that have resources or time. Sometimes you can get a long time to work on something by making it cost very little to work on it, like you can do it at home. Other times, if you have a big team, it takes money to work on it for a long time. So we did get about a full year from the beginning of shooting to when it had to be totally done. And the shoot was a bit longer than other things I'd worked on, because there were a lot of exteriors, so it had to be shot at specific times of day, so you can't just shoot anything anytime. Which meant that the first part of just putting the movie together for the first time to watch it had a little bit more time, which meant could experiment a little at first more, and also get a lot more precise in building up what the tone and the style is. And the way Jordan likes to work with me anyway on Us and Nope and some of the TV stuff is, while he's shooting, he wants as quickly as I can to see a version of what he shot yesterday or the day before put together. And it influences him going forward. And he says like, oh, actually, that's not how I was thinking about that. Could you try it like this? And then we'll look at that and he'll say, that worked great. That gives me confidence to do tomorrow's scene the way I thought. Or, oh, that didn't work. I got to change my approach. So that's really interesting, because you feel like you're involved in the production, which sometimes when you're editing, you're not. You're just off on mm-hmm. another. That's the next phase. They're not even thinking about that yet. So, mm-hmm. We watch dailies. We put it together. And then a little while after they're shooting, a week, maybe two, we sit down and watch the whole thing, and then we go, oh my God, what is this? And this one was crazy, because he gave himself just a giant sandbox to play in out there in Santa Clarita, and they shot that way too. So we had this huge amount of raw material with very focused ideas and moments in it. But then we were figuring out sort of what the bigger groupings of scenes were like. How long were those? How long is it from this point to this point? Does that feel like time is passing, or does it feel like we're in real time living it with the characters? So all that stuff took a lot of experimentation on Nope, because the first cut was about 4 hours long.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Which could have been right. It just wasn't. You just know when you watch it for the first time, that's not right for this movie. So, anyway, so yeah, it just was months and months of working with the VFX team, the music team, the sound team, and with Jordan to try as many things. And often it ends up pretty close to what he started with, but with subtle differences that you would only get to through the experimenting. So,
sure.
Yeah, it was great. It was a lot of work, but it was great, because it was such an amazingly talented team. And we got to work very closely together. It was the first job I did back from COVID. And we were all testing and we were all being careful, but we were all in one building basically working together. So it was a very collaborative process.
Yeah, definitely. So I guess my next question kind of goes into like the film itself. Kind of like this film was like shot in, I believe, 65 millimeter film and using IMAX cameras. So like how did that make the editing, like kind of post-production phase, like a little bit different?
Yeah. Well, really, you have to, I mean, the real wizardry happens with the assistant editors and the DI editors who handle at the very end, once the edit's done, putting it all together with the raw material again and recreating the thing we've been making in the edit, which is made with much smaller scans and files. So there's a lot of technical know-how and organizational stuff that my assistant editor Matt Absher had to handle, and the DI editors have to handle. So that is they make my job much easier, which is I just go in and turn on a computer and all the material is there. We did have to plan stuff beforehand of what order were we going to do things in order to hit deadlines, because those were the main formats, but really I think there were about nine distinct formats of media that were captured for it. And a lot of visual effects done at various phases of the project. So it was there was more planning and discussion meetings talking about, wait, if we get that footage on this date, it's going to take 3 days for them to scan it. Then it has to go to visual effects for this to be applied before we can really even use it. So also a lot of using our imagination, which I think is maybe a bit of a, I sound very old, but I know it may be a bit of a dying art in a way, because a lot of the way software and digital editing has gone is you can mock something up or create it immediately. And so there, I think it's a skill you have to build to be able to look at material that doesn't look like the finished material is going to look, and yet still understand, no, that will work. It doesn't quite work yet, but once it's done, it will. It will feel right. So,
Nice. Yeah. So, guess my next question kind of goes into like, were there any like extended scenes, additional scenes that were ultimately cut that you wish were like in the movie? Like maybe it's a scene or maybe it's additional.
I mean, so there's kind of two answers to that question. One is, I mean, yes, definitely. There's always a version of the movie that I can imagine that's different than the finished one, because it's a conversation. And so the one-sided conversation where I just get all the material and make the thing I think is best out of it would, you know, I could watch it and probably like it, but I would also know, because I'm with Jordan, you're working with a writer and director who's created an original idea. There's something maintained in their original feeling about the project that no one else can really get at. So the end result has to resonate with whatever the source is that they pulled the original ideas from. Now, sometimes they drift and realize, actually, what happened when we were shooting and now where we're editing is more interesting and I like that more, and that's great. But it has to sort of work with the intention that was put into the footage and the intention that was put into the writing, the intentions the actors had when they were on set. So the long answer is no. I think the movie ended up exactly the way it should be because we had the time and Jordan was open to all the feedback. And he got to explore all the things he wanted to, I think. Most filmmakers would say they could probably go in and make 5 to 12 other versions of the movie they would also like.
Yeah.
Some don't. Some think there's only one. So it's always an experiment. But yeah, there is a lot of stuff, and hopefully There's some on the Blu-ray that were really interesting. A lot of character background, like with Kiki's character, there was some stuff from her that kind of let you know who she was independently before you meet her in the final edit. But it ended up making more sense for the whole arc of the movie that you kind of start with Daniel, and then by the end, Kiki sort of, there's a bit of a handoff in terms of
Yeah.
who the protagonist is in the movie. And that just we learned through watching it. So
Yeah.
hopefully that we did make an extended edit, but I don't know if and when it will ever see the light of day, because that takes money, because it's all the
Yeah.
scanning of the film and the visual effects and the sound
Definitely.
work and everything. So
Yeah, that's very
hopefully.
interesting. Yeah. I guess there's three more questions. So, what was like one of your like favorite scenes that you worked on, edited, for this film? Like, was there one in particular?
I think I have to give a another kind of to a dialectical answer, because I think on there's I like that this movie has both these things in it. One would be like the Gordy attack sequence on the sitcom set was so precise the way they filmed it, and the level of decisions we were making in the edit were so precise of like, it needs to cut to black on exactly this frame, and we would try every frame to the right and left of that just to time it to make sure that was right. Where the balloon pop sounds happen were dialed in over months. I mean, a level of precision and detail that it's rare that you have the time and I don't know, and material that's so engaging to do that with. And then on the flip side, the end of the movie, the last, I guess there's a part where the cinematographer decides to make one last ditch do or die effort to get a shot of this entity. And from there, for the next 10 minutes in the movie, all hell breaks loose. And that section, there's a million ways you could edit that, and we were trying huge shifts. Like, we, you know, what if that happens before that? What if that doesn't happen at all? What if it has music? What if it doesn't have music? And it was all a big exploration. And I love that this movie had both of those kinds of experiences of editing, where we have to make it up in the edit from scratch, almost from really like raw ingredients, or this is all already almost done, and now we're just finely tuning. So, yeah, both
Yeah.
those sequences I really love.
Yeah, that's great. I guess kind of like switching it up, like this one's more of like there might be people listening that might want to become editors or just like simply go into the film industry. Would you have like any advice for those type of people?
Yeah, it's a tricky one, 'cause I think editing is a really bizarre job, in that I sort of think it's kind of like it's sort of an impossible job really to do well, because it's a bit of an artificial separation of roles between a writer, director, cinematographer, editor, and actor, where you're like, every time it's different, and you're figuring out, is it my job to have an opinion on this, or has that already been decided by the performer or by the director or the writer? And there's a lot of stepping on toes. There's a lot of so it can be very uncomfortable. It can be very confusing. But I think there's different kinds of editing where, you can kind of paint by numbers, and there are those jobs out there, I think, where you're kind of cutting and pasting versions of what other people have done. The commonality between all of it is just watching as much of the kinds of things you want to make as possible, or that you think is practical for you that you could make. You know, it might change year from year to year. Like this year seems like seems like people are realizing I can edit documentaries, so I should watch a lot of the kinds of documentaries I want to watch. Anyway, that stuff really affects how you look at what you're working on. And it can be tempting after a long day of work to just turn on something mindless on the weekend or whatever, just because the last thing you want to do is think about editing again. But you have to be careful. Just anyway, the input, watching, seeking out, because if you just rely on what shows up on the streaming algorithm pages, everything just becomes a cannibalizes itself, and it's all imitations of itself. So, you know, sort of like AI, we can do that to ourselves in our own brain. So watch, seeking out interesting stuff by new filmmakers, by old filmmakers, and then be, I guess, a healthy dose of leaping before you look, because I think the best opportunities I had were when I emailed somebody or told somebody I was working with, hey, your next project, I've never done anything like that, but I know I can do it, even though I didn't know I could do it. But I knew I would try really hard to do it. And that's all anyone's doing. So I think a lot of people, maybe I had the fortune to see in behind the curtain a little bit growing up, enough to realize they're just people figuring it out. If you do it for a little while, before you know it, you're a little bit older than the people starting to do it. And now they're turning to you to ask you, how do you do this? So it's all everybody just figuring it out. And there isn't, it's part of what I love about the film industry. It's at its best, it's like working at the circus. And people come from all walks of life, and there isn't really a bar for entry. You don't have to have gone to film school. You don't have to have done all these things. There's value in all of that. But I think being open-minded, asking questions when you don't know, leaping before you look, respecting everyone else you work with, and that they're all trying their hardest in their way too. Those are the only secrets I know in there.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's great advice. And lastly, like, are there any projects that you worked on that you'd care to share just a little bit about?
Yeah. Again, the aforementioned strikes.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I'll just basically say, because they're, you can Google them, and the information's all public, but I don't know what'll happen with the releases of these things, and if the strikes will be over, and who will be promoting them or not. I think the next thing coming out that I worked on was actually something I worked on 3 years ago when the pandemic hit, which is a Taika Waititi film called Next Goal Wins, which is a great story. There's a documentary that it's based on, which I highly recommend, of the same name. You can read about that. I can't wait for it to come out, because it kept getting delayed and delayed and delayed from all these circumstances in the world. And then I just finished a edit of a movie called Nickel Boys, which is based on Colson Whitehead novel called The Nickel Boys, with the director Ramel Ross. It was a totally unique experience, and amazing filmmaker, amazing producer, Jocelyn Barnes, working with Plan B, was a very exciting experience with extremely creative, intelligent producers. And it's unlike any other movie I've ever seen or worked on. It mashes up styles and genres in a way that's really remarkable. I recommend looking up Ramel Ross's previous film, if you haven't seen it, called Hale County, This Morning, This Evening, which is a documentary he made. It's a very inspiring documentary. So.
Sure. Yeah. Well, thank you. And thank you for joining me today. It was great. Great talking to you. And
definitely.
Awesome.
Yes. Best of luck with the interviews and reviews and everything. And thanks. Thanks for inviting me.
And that officially wraps up the interview. I'd once again like to thank Nick for joining me to do this interview. It was truly a pleasure getting to talk with him about the editing experience on Nope and his career overall. It was really, really great. I'd once again like to point out our conversation about the SAG-AFTRA and WGA strikes. I'm going to include links to find more information about the strikes and places you can donate to. It's really important that the public stands behind the WGA and SAG as well. But I appreciate you listening. Thank you, Nick, again for joining me for this interview. And look forward for more interviews to come. This is Lights, Camera, Film Reviews, signing out.